Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Is the voice coming through now? Inshallah, okay, let's begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا وإخلاصا وتوفيقا يا أرحم الراحمين. My apologies for the lack of sound. Okay, inshallah we're going through juz number 25, which has a total of four surahs within it. Shukran. Okay, with that, four surahs within it, we'll start then with Surah Ash-Shura. We had a page or so of Surah Hamim Sajda, or Surah Fussilat, as it is also referred to as, just concluding Surah Hamim Sajda with discussion, a reference to the hereafter, to the end of times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassuring the believers and mankind that they shall come to see the truth, whether they accept it or not. So we'll move on then to the next surah, which is Surah Ash-Shura. This also is a Makkan surah. And like all of the Makkan surahs, the primary themes are of belief, of tawheed, of risala, of akhirah. So tawheed, belief in Allah, matters of the creed, matters of belief. And then with risala, we're looking at not just prophethood, but also revelation, the Quran. All matters that pertain to revelation, be that the prophet, be that what is sent, how it is sent, and so on. And then we have akhirah, which is the hereafter, but also including resurrection, accountability, heaven and hell, and so on. So this surah, Surah Ash-Shura, takes its name from a verse within the surah, which references the believers practicing this, practicing shura, which is consultation, discussing, and consulting others about what to do in future regarding certain matters. And so the there's a verse, inshallah, I'll point it out when we get there, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a number of characteristics that the believers have. And one of them is this one, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And it seems that this particular characteristic is a differentiator of this surah. It's a unique one, which is not mentioned elsewhere, which is why perhaps then it was given this name. And you know, the name was given based on this characteristic and not the other ones, because the other ones also are quite common or found in other ones. Allah knows best. So the surah, yeah, I think it's worth mentioning or worth asking what consultation is made for. So there's a verse number 10, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within this surah references وَمَخْتَلَفْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that whatever you differ on, then the judgment of it should go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, a shura is made in matters that are not explicit. Yeah? Shura is made in matters that are in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not pronounced an explicit judgment. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. So again, like I said, the three major topics over here, Tawheed, Risala, and Akhira. But what we'll see throughout this entire juz, which are all Makkan surahs, by the way, right? That the primary topics vary from surah, from Makkan surah to another Makkan surah, and they tend to place their emphasis. So we have varying degrees of emphasis. So we can say, for example, that in Surah Shura, the emphasis is on revelation and prophethood, the risala aspect. Yeah, we can glean it from it, for example, the opening verse, Hamim Ayn Sin Qaf, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kadhalika Yuhi Ilayka wa ila alladhina min qablika Allahu al-Azizul Hakim. So there's a reference to the wahi, or reference to the wahi. There are also references to the hereafter in the context of the disbelievers denying its existence. So the disbelievers denying the existence of the hereafter. Also, there's a reference to accountability. So the disbelievers also denied in the accountability of their ill deeds. And of course, what is to be of the believers and the disbelievers of heaven and hell. There's also a couple of contrasts that are made in the surah between believers and disbelievers. Take, for example, verse number 5. That talks about the gravity of the heresies and blasphemies with which the pagans speak. This is contrasted with Allah's infinite mercy, His desire to forgive, as well as the profuse and unceasing sacrosanct praises, the tasbih of the angels, and their prayers for those on the earth. These, yani, Allah's mercy, His predilection to forgive, and the tasbih of the angels, as well as the istighfar of the angels for those on earth, outweigh the blasphemies and the profanities of the pagans. Yeah. Verse number 7, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. There's a reference over here that, verse number 7, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. There's a reference over here that revelation is in Arabic, and that based on this, the primary audience is the Arabs. Or the, if you like, the address needs to prioritize with the Arabs first, since revelation seems to be, is in their language, and then to the rest of mankind. Thereafter, we've got the verse that I mentioned before about shura is made in matters in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not pronounced any judgment. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references His creative powers, right? That, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. I'm looking at verse number 11, created the heavens and the earth, and from you He created pairs, and in animals also pairs. And He let you then create offspring. And here we have a very important verse of creed, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Aqidah 101. We do not create likeness. There is nothing like Allah. So Allah is not like any of His creation. And then we move on to verse number 13. So this is an important verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the admission that the religion of all prophets is the same. If there are any differences, the differences are in the minutiae. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى. So what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constituted, has institutionalized of the religion, which He then gave to Noah and those thereafter of Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. There you go. To establish the religion and not to to disperse and differ one another. Then we have the concluding part of this verse. اللَّهُ يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. ويهدي إليه من ينيب. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose whoever he wants as a prophet is a theme that will reoccur in this verse, in this surah and the next. And وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مُنْيُنِيبُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who turn to him in earnest. It's an important point over here. As long as a person turns to Allah in earnest and asks for guidance with sincerity, then Allah will guide him. One can be reassured of this. We turn then to verse number 17 that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having revealed the book, and which the revelation, which the disbelievers deny. And there's also a reference to the hereafter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُمَارُونَ فِي السَّاعَةِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Yeah. Let's move on then to verse number 18. So we've got the contrast over here between the believers and the disbelievers, that the disbelievers poke fun at the idea of a life after death and were taunting the Prophet. They're taunting the Prophet, whereas the believers, they understand the gravity of what is to come. They quiver and shudder from its severity. Verse number 22 then contrasts the outcome of this. So the believers, the disbelievers must face the consequences of their misdeeds, whereas the believers are in heaven. All of their desires and wishes are attended to. Verse number 27. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. There's a reference here to inequality amongst the believers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whoever he wants, right? And there's a wisdom behind this. The wisdom mentioned that if everyone was powerful, everyone had everything, then humanity and civilization would not be able to function. There's a further reference also to inequality, I think, in verse number 49 and 50 of this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references children, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives children to whoever he wants and may not give children to couples. And even when he gives children, he will give males to who he wants, whoever he pleases, and females to whoever he pleases. You know, some people will have just boys, others will have just girls, others will have nothing. And so this is a reference over here again to inequality, and there's a wisdom behind this. Verse number 36. The reference over here to the philosophy of the philosophy of material wealth, conception of wealth, that it is temporal, and that the material of the next world is better and everlasting. It says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ, whatever we have given you, فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, then this is of the pleasure, this is the material of this world. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, but what is with Allah is better, and it is everlasting, it's permanent. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Now here's the list of who this is for, who the pleasures of the hereafter, the permanent pleasures of the hereafter are for who? Alladhina amanu, those who believe, wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun, those who place their trust in their Lord, walladhina yajtanibuna kaba'ir al-ithmi wal-fawahish. I'll just translate it. So number three is mentioned here, those who avoid major sins and promiscuity. Also, the division of sins into major and minor can also be extracted from this verse. وَإِذَا غَضِبُوا مَا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, and they forgive when they are angry. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, those who respond to their Lord's call, meaning that they are obedient to Allah's commands, وَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and they establish prayer, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and that their affair is through mutual consultation, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they give from what Allah has given them. This is a reference to zakat or otherwise. Can be both. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ, and they avenge for the harm that is visited upon them. I.e., it's a reference of bravery, that they don't hesitate in meeting out qisas and hudud cases. Yeah. And then let's see what else we have over here. We have verse number 51 is a reference then to the different types of revelation. So we said that at the beginning of this surah, that there's a reference to the revelation. Here we have a reference to revelation again, yeah, just so that the start of the surah and the end of the surah are in harmony. So it's mentioned over here, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا فَيُوحِي بِإِذْنِهِ بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates. He says, and we were not to talk to a or communicate with a human directly except via revelation or behind a veil, or we would send a messenger. Yeah, and through his permission then he would be revealed whatever he wants. And in verse number 52 there's also a reference to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكَذَلِكَ وَحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورُ. Beautiful ending. Yeah. Okay, let's move on then to the next surah, which is Surah Zukhruf. This again is another Makkan surah. The emphasis is on Tawheed, on monotheism, on Risala, on prophethood, revelation, and Akhirah, on life after death. The surah gets its name from verse number 35, Zukhruf, ornament, or just maybe, let's say, glamour. It's a reference. Verse number 35 points to the glitz and the glamour of this world, as well as worldly life and its existence being temporary, transient, and impermanent. Yeah, there's a famous hadith that talks about how a person who will have had all the riches in the world, who will not have had an iota of suffering, he wouldn't have suffered anything in this world, he would have had all the material possessions at his feet, and in the hereafter, if he was to just taken to the hellfire or just a dip in the hellfire, he'll forget everything. Yeah. So just shows you how insignificant the material of this world is compared to the hereafter. Yeah, and the hereafter is for the permanent. Now, if we just quickly summarize this in terms of the three themes that I mentioned. So in terms of Tawheed, there's a wonderful array of verses which illustrate Allah's creativity, His Qudra, and His creative powers. All of this, I think, would come under Rububiyyah, yeah, come under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lordship. The surah then also takes occasion with idolatry, with shirk, and the pagan belief that angels are the daughters of God. Yeah, Al-Mala'ikatu Banatullah. It also talks about authority. Pagans latch on to taqleed, blind following of their fathers, and they also seem to succumb to the rich and powerful. We'll talk a little more about this when we cover that section. In terms of prophethood, the main objection that the Quraysh seem to have is that why did God Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not choose somebody rich and powerful like them instead of the Prophet? The assumption here being is that being rich and being powerful entitles one with the God-given right to legislate in Allah's name. To which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retorts that it is He and it is Allah who decides who should get what, right? And there's an unequal distribution of wealth for that reason. And this objection and response, the objection that I mentioned about why Allah didn't choose someone powerful like the Quraysh instead, and the response that Allah gave is then reinforced through the characters of Musa and Fir'aun. Yeah, and in terms of, so that's what we have in this surah in stock for the Risala. In terms of Akhirah, there are a couple of depictions or scenes contrasting the believers with the non-believers, as always is the case. Okay? So whatever you'll find mention of Jannah in the Quran, you should have a mention of Jahannam, of hellfire, juxtaposed next to it, so that the listener or the reader can get an opportunity to compare and to decide for himself which side he wants to be on. So come then, let's turn to the verses. So Hameem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Hameem wal Kitabil Mubin, Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun, wa innahu fi ummil kitabi ladayna la'aliyun hakim. So these four verses that I just read, the opening verses, reference the Quran. Yeah, reference the Quran over here. That the Quran is an open book, but it's in Arabic, and it's in Arabic for a reason, so that they may comprehend its meanings, yeah, and so on. And then we move on to afanadribu ankum al-dhikra. This is verse number 5. Yeah, it's turning to the disbelievers in saying that, do you think Allah would forsake you and not send you a messenger? And verse number 6 then, kam arsalna min nabiyyin min al-awwalin. So verse number 6 has now turned from the book, the revelation, to the messenger. So here we're moving on to reference, let's say, the prophet, the bearer of revelation, who was sent by God, and the response of the pagans over here. وَمَا يَأْتِيهِم مِّن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. So the response of the pagans to the Prophet ﷺ was that of ridicule, right? To poke fun at the Prophet, at his message, and also to deny what he has brought. Then we move on to verse number 8 onwards. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's take this first verse. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. If you were to ask the disbelievers, the pagans, who created the heavens and the earth, then they will most certainly say that the powerful all-knowing has created them. So what the Quran is doing over here is it's building upon pagan understandings of God, on pagan notions of divinity. And the emphasis, as we can see here, is beautiful verses over here, right up to verse number 14. So verse number 9 to verse number 14, there's an emphasis on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rububiyyah, his creative powers, which is then extended to uluhiyyah in the subsequent verses. And it's almost like an ilzam. It's almost like saying that if you accept these premises, that Allah is the most powerful, that He's the highest God, He's the greatest divine power, then why not divert your worship towards Him? Why not devote yourself towards Him and not to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to other gods, to demigods and so on? And so this is then turned again, right? So here then we look at وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, number 15, verse number 15, وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا. You know, despite all of the above that they agree upon, they took a part of divinity amongst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slaves. And we have over here the reference to the pagans taking or considering or taking, let's say, daughters for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, أَمِتَّخَذَ مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ بَنَاتٍ وَأَصْفَاكُمْ بِالْبَنِينَ. Yeah, there's a reference over here. It's a pagan or pre-Islamic notion of boys being stronger. Boys were favored. They would favor boys instead of girls. It's mentioned over here, verse number 17, that if one of them were told that they have a daughter, then they would be depressed, they would be outraged, they'd be angered, they would be upset at having daughters. And yet, they have the goal to then ascribe daughters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, here, very clearly, verse number 19, وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَاثًا. These people made angels who are the slaves of Allah as women, as daughters. أَشْهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ. Did they witness this? سَتُكْتَبُ شَهَادَتُهُمْ وَيُسْأَلُونَ. That their testimony shall be recorded and they shall be asked about it in the hereafter. Let's continue then. The question over here is, on what basis, what is the basis of this belief here? Question over here in verse number 21, أَمْ أَتَيْنَاهُمْ كِتَابًا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ فَهُمْ بِهِ مُتْمَسِكُونَ بَلْ قَالُوا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَانَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. So the response over here that they've given is that the basis of this belief is taqleed, that they found their forefathers doing it and therefore they are doing it. This then turns to the next, we're looking at the next objection that the pagans have presented, which is that why the Prophet was sent and why not someone strong and powerful like them? Yeah, and then verse number 26, there's a story or reference to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The reference to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam perhaps is because he's their progeny, right? Their ancestral father. He's the father of the Arabs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them a right precedent instead of a wrong one. That if you are, for argument's sake, going to be following your fathers, then why don't you follow the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? You've got a good precedent over here. And based on what we see here, وَإِذْ قَالَ, verse number in the context of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةٍ فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ بَلْ مَتَّعْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ وَأَبَاهُمْ حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ وَرَسُولٌ مُبِينٌ. There's also, we can use this story to then remind them why they are not to be spared and why a messenger came to them to warn them about the hereafter. Okay, let's continue then. We're looking at verse number 46. Let's look at verse number 46 over here. On verse number 46 over here, we've got the example of Musa and Fir'aun, as I mentioned before. This further illustrate this this response about wealth and what wealth means, but also in a sense it's comparing the Quraysh to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh had more wealth. Allah gave more wealth to Pharaoh. Yeah, and how Pharaoh treated Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, we move on to the story of Isa ibn Maryam, which is verse number 56. Verse number 57. وَلَمَّا ضُرِبَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ مَثَلًا إِذَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْهُ يَصِدُّونَ. So, this is a pagan polemic, a polemic that the Quraysh had used based on a verse that إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمُ. that all the things that are being worshipped other than Allah shall be the fuel of the hellfire. So the assumption here is that since the Christians worship Jesus, then will Jesus be part of the hellfire? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to respond to this, that this is not correct. And to be honest, it was a non-argument. It was a non-argument because ma refers to non-human objects. So this is non-human objects and not human objects that are to be the that are being worshipped, that shall be the fuel of the hellfire. Yeah, so there's a introduction over here to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. If you look at verse number 59, in huwa illa abdun an'amna alayhi waja'alnahu mathalan li bani Israel, that he's not a god, but rather he's a slave, he's human, and he's a prophet. Verse number 61 is a very interesting one. وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ. Right? That Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is amongst the signs of the end of times. So one can in fact take from this the return of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to this world. Yeah, I think we'll stop here. You know, the surah ends, I think, over here. Let's have a look. No, actually, there's another section of the surah. So there's a contrast over here. We're looking at verse number 68 onwards is a contrast over here between heaven and hell. Right, those who shall be in hellfire, those who shall be in the heaven. So udkhulu al-jannata alladhina amanu bi ayatina wa kanu muslimin. Actually, before that, ya ibadi la khawfun alaykum al-yawm. So we're looking at verse number 68. There's no fear upon you. There's nothing to grieve. Those who believed in our verses and were Muslims, enter the Jannah. You and your wives shall be pleased. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِصِحَافٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ. They shall have goblets and chalices of gold and actually trays of gold and to drink. وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُهُمْ. Yeah, continues. And then verse number 74 is the contrast of the disbelievers, right, that are being referenced as criminals. إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ في عذاب جهنم خالدون. Right, the wrongdoers shall be tormented, shall be given, or in the shall be in the torment of hellfire forever. لا يفتر عنهم. Yeah, it shall never cease. It will be incessant. وهم فيه مبلسون. They shall lose all hope, all aspirations in there, and so on. And so there's a this continues until verse number 78, and then it goes back to the discussion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creative power, about what they are saying and how they shall be held accountable to it. Yeah, I think the surah then ends there. Quickly move on then to the next surah, which is Surah Dukhan. So Surah Dukhan means smoke. The surah gets its name from a verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sending a smoke. Right? There's a disagreement amongst the Sahaba whether the smoke is a sign of the end of times or whether the smoke is something that was sent to the Quraysh as part of a miracle during the Prophet's life. Yeah, so Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a famous narration in Sahih Bukhari that talks about how the Quraysh were faced with famine and drought, and in the midst of it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a smoke, and they feared that this would put them to an end. And then they were relieved by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prayers to Allah. Yeah. So this is Surah Dukhan. The surah begins, Hamim wal kitab al mubin inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin inna kunna mundirin. Like we're saying, this is a Makkan surah. So again, reference over here to the Quran or to his decree. References to a blessed night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. Most likely it's the Laylatul Qadr. Others have said it's the 15th of Sha'ban, depending on how you read it. Yeah, so all of this is a reference to the book. Let's move on then. Yeah, here. فَرْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Right, so there's a reference also to the Prophet unto the life after death. لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت ربكم ورب آبائكم الأولين بل هم في شك يلعبون. So the disbelievers are in doubt. Yeah, they are heedless of a revelation of life after death. فارتقب يوم تأتي السماء بدخان مبين. So here verse number 10 then references to the smoke, which is or was a punishment. Yeah, and out of, you know, desperation, either they pleaded or will plead belief, they pledge belief. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look here, he says, فَارْتَقِبْ wait يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ, for a day when the sky shall send a smoke, يَغْشَ النَّاسَ هَذَا عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ, the smoke shall cover the people and it shall be a punishment. The pagans then who are being punished shall plead to Allah, رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ. O Allah, take away this smoke, we are amongst the believers. أَنَّا لَهُمُ الذِّكْرَى وَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مُبِينٌ. Yeah, this is important. That Allah says, why would they believe when the Prophet has come and already brought them miracles and signs, which are a lot more believable, right? So, and so they turned away. The surah continues, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا مُعَلَّمٌ مَجْنُونَ. So once the smoke had dissipated, had gone, then they turn around. They no longer believed, and they accuse the Prophet of being mu'allam, someone who was taught, who's been taught by someone, or that he has been possessed, and majnoon, he's insane. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes by saying, no problem, worry not, إِنَّكُمْ عَائِدُونَ. You shall be punished again. يَوْمَ نَبْطِشُ الْبَطَشَةَ الْكُبْرَى إِنَّا مُنْتَقِمُونَ. That the greatest blow is yet to come. Yeah, some companions interpreted this as Badr, as the Battle of Badr. And I think the second opinion seems to be a strong one, that this is the punishment in the hereafter. Yeah. Verse number then. And then it moves on to Pharaoh. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا قَبْلَكُمْ قَوْمَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَجَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ كَرِيمٌ. Turns to Pharaoh and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Perhaps the reason why this is because we've read before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also punished the Bani, the Coptics, right, the non-believers, with locusts and frogs and so on, and you know, they also kept making these pledges that we believe, pray to your God, O Moses, to take away these frogs, pray to God to take away these things, and then they'd return once again. Yeah, so maybe that's one of the reasons why there's a reference to this time and time again. Verse number 35 then. Let's continue. In here illa mawtuduna al-ula wa ma nahnu bimunsharin. Here is the pagans asserting that there is only one death, that there is no life after death, right? So the we can say the Makkans are denying life after death. وَقَالْ فَأْتُوا بِآيَاتِنَا إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآبَائِنَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Yeah, and continues, and then verse number, let's say 43. Inna shajarat az-zaqoom, from here onwards up to verse number 50, inna hadha ma kuntum bihi tamtarun, right, is a depiction of the disbelievers, that the disbelievers will be made to eat from the tree of zaqoom, which is like molten lead, which will boil their stomachs. Yeah. And then from verse 51 until pretty much the second to last verse, so verse number 57, is a depiction of the believers. Innal muttaqina fi maqamin amin fi jannatin wa uyun. Those who are God-fearing shall be in a secure place in heavens, right, in amongst gardens and springs. It's saying what they'll wear, they'll be wearing silk, various parts of silk, and so on. Right, and then the surah then ends by saying, وَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. We've made the Quran easy for you in your tongue so that they may take heed. فَارْتَقِبْ إِنَّهُمْ مُرْتَقِبُونَ. Wait, for they are waiting. And so the surah ends on this wonderful note, which takes us then to the last surah of this juz number 25, Suratul Jathiyah. Jathiyah from Jathayajthu, which means to be down on your knees. Again, there's a reference over here, which we'll see in the surah itself. Talks about all the nations shall be on their knees. They'll be kneeling in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time when the hell shall be brought forth, and it will be the time of the accounts. Okay, it's a horrific moment, so people will be on their knees out of desperation and pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the surah begins, Hamim tanzilul kitab min Allah al-aziz al-hakim, inna fi samawati wal ardi la ayatin lil mu'minin. There's a reference over here both to revelation and to nature. Both are signs adequate enough to warrant belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tilka ayatullahi natluha alayka bilhaq. Right? These are verses that we are reciting to you and are truthful. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. What other speech after Allah and His signs will they believe in? Yeah. It then turns to condemn the disbelievers. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ, verse number 7. Right? That وَيْلٌ, death or damned be or hell be for لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ, for the arch liars, criminals. يَسْمَعُ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ يُصِرُّ مُسْتَكْبِرًا, and so on. Right? I'll just quickly translate it. Who hears the verses of the Quran recited to him, then presses on arrogantly as though he never heard anything at all. So there's this indifference, there's this casual ignorance towards the Quran when it's recited. And they feign as though they didn't hear anything. And the worst thing is, it doesn't stop there. It says, وَإِذَا عَلِمَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا شَيْئًا اتَّخَذَهَا هُزُوًا. And then when he comes to learn of our verses, then he pokes fun at them. Yeah, he makes fun at the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people are damned. They're condemned to the hellfire, which is a most humiliating torment, and nothing is going to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from meeting out this punishment upon them. Then Allahu alladhi sakhara lakum al-bahra litajri. There's a number of verses over here again talking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rububiyyah. His Let's have a look. Let's continue. Next one. أم حسب الذين اشترحوا السيئات. Verse number 21. the sinful and the pious cannot be the same. Yeah, the sinful and the pious cannot be the same. Verse number 22, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Creation of the heavens and the earth, creation of everyone is for the accountability. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَهُ هَوَاهُ. A beautiful verse. Verse number 23 is talking about how the pagans are blinded by their desires. Verse number 24, denial of life after death. And their response to the Quran's argument is, bring to life our fathers, right? Bring to life our fathers, to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, worry not, both you and your fathers shall be brought forth together on the Day of Judgment. And here we have, what's it going here? Verse number 28, وَتَرَى كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمِ مَتُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Right, but everyone will be brought to their knees by the hellfire and will wait for their account. Yeah, the believers will have a different experience and recollection of this, inshallah. And the surah then ends by talking about what prevented them from disbelieving. Yeah, وَمَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. What prevented them from believing is that they did not take Allah's word seriously. They made fun of it. They were fooled by material wealth and power in this world. And فَلِلَّهِ, looking at the last two verses, the summary of which that the real power and might belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this we come to conclude juz number 25. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.